What's up, everybody? We're the Flippin' Flippers. I'm your host, Paul.
And I'm Co, and this is your Coast to Coast Guitar Podcast, where we are better late than never and talking about guitars and pedals and dad things and, just living life.
I thought you were going to go with, and we're your freaking pissed off quarantine podcast. Just freaking sick of it. Just sick of it.
Nah.
Well, you're living like a normal life. My life has now changed back to like weird quarantine. So, I finished my brother-in-law's house. And so now it's like, okay, well, you know, I have a couple people lined up, but they're like, can we wait until like, you know, this like mid weird wave like stops? And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? And so it's like, okay. So then I'm like, okay, now what? So now I'm just home. You know, I do a couple drive jobs, but that's about it. And it's like, I'm home most of the time. And it's like, oh, these kids. How does my wife do it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still kind of normal life in it over here. And I did try and paint the cedar guitar body last week.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Well, you know, I sat down and had a conversation with our buddy Jonathan Fellows about the proper steps I needed to take in order to do a good job. And
now let me, is that before or after?
Before.
And you still didn't follow?
And I still didn't follow his instructions.
That's amazing. I love it.
So I didn't seal up any of like the end grain or anything. And I sprayed it, and it just soaked up that paint a sponge. It was like just disappearing right into the wood. It was crazy.
Well, that's fun. But you're just going to keep doing it until you have like a thick grain line? Because I do like that on guitars. Like I do like when you see grain in the guitars. I think that's cool.
The little bit that stuck, I sanded it back, and I am going to do a sealer coat on it. Mm-hmm. But it'll be clear, so you'll still be able to see the grain. And I'm going to do it lightly so that it's not like, I don't know. I originally thought I wanted to do like all super smooth and buffed out and polished, but then I remembered my skill level and I'm going to go for a rough finish.
Yeah, rough. That's it right there. Yeah, I just got in all my parts. I think I have everything now because I just got a Gun Street like wiring harness. Thanks, Sean.
Oh, nice.
Dude's the best. Because I'm doing a Tele Deluxe and I don't have, like, if it was like a regular Telecaster, I have a bunch of parts. But I don't have parts for that. So I got in that and then I was like, sweet. And I started lining things up and like looking and I realized like the bridge for it's wrong. It's just a standard Tele half bridge and they didn't send like the Tele Deluxe half bridge, which is a little bit stumpier to fit. And it doesn't, it changed. Like if I put it in, it would like change like basically where the bridge sits. So I'm like, great. So I got to like look and see like what the difference is, but it sits back. Basically it moves the bridge back like almost a quarter of an inch. So
that's a huge
difference. So I'm like not comfortable with doing that. And so my options are moving the neck forward or doing, and I'm like, I'm not doing this at all. So I'm going to look and see like if I can get a Tele Deluxe bridge in a reasonable time. Cause I picked that one. Because like on Amazon, it was like, oh, ships this week, you know, and all the rest were like, oh, ships next October. Sorry, COVID-19. So I was like, okay, you know, but so I'm in the process of doing that. I got to get a bridge before I can do anything else. And then once I like drill it and like I'll start routing like the cavity for it. It doesn't have to be perfect, but I'm just going to sketch it out and then route it. And then I'm going to put it all together. I'm going to do some sort of like just a stain, you know, like maybe a clear polish or something on the walnut body because it's going to look sweet. But I also don't want to pick it up and have it just like have grease on me, you know, like because I sold one of those. I forgot what they're called, but it's like the natural finish fenders. I can't remember. It's like the FRR or FHR or something like that. And it's like, it felt like there was like just oil getting on you after you were done playing it. And I was like, I don't want that.
No. Yeah. You don't want to deal with that.
Nope. So
I did practice doing some SG style.
Dude, that thing's like bevels. Awesome. I love it. It looks so freaking good.
Really good. Yeah.
You need on Amazon, and I'm almost willing to guarantee that this will be better than that neck that you had. You don't have that, right? You sold the neck?
Yeah, I sold
For like, I think it's like $40. I bought one. It might have even been like $30. And it's like a Gibson style, like Epiphone replacement neck. And I bought it for that SL or SP6 copy that I have because like, I just, the neck is just such trash. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to buy one of these and see what it is. And if I get it and I'm like, oh, this is garbage, I'm just going to send it back. But it was like $34 or something. I was like, yeah, I'm going to try it. You should just get one of those.
Free shipping with Prime probably.
What's that?
And probably free shipping.
Oh, totally. Yeah. This is our Amazon.
I was looking on.
Amazon's our new sponsor. Oh, you know what, though? I looked on that, too, and I really, the stuff.
They're $39
I know,
for the Gibson Epiphone style replaces, but then they charge you a ton for shipping.
Right, and then also they're like, a lot of them are like the beat up ones, or like, is that the ones you were looking at, right? Yeah. Like some of them are like, clearance. You know, like this picture, it says like at the bottom, this picture doesn't reflect what's wrong with it or some jargon like that. And you're like, well, what if I get it and it doesn't have a headstock or it doesn't have a nut or it's like cracked right down the middle? You know what I mean? And I'm just like, I don't know. I almost pulled the trigger when they had their 50% off clearance or whatever. They had a couple like Les Paul copies that were like, I think they were like $75 or something. And I'm like, man, this is too cheap. Oh, no, one was $59, and I almost pulled the trigger, and I was like, ugh. But again, the shipping was like $50 on it, which is crazy, and I was like, I think I'll just put money into my projects instead. Because that's what I should be doing. Don't feed your family. Do your projects.
Well, and, you know, I should get necks for the tele projects before I get a neck for that SL body that I'm just using as a guinea pig for my ideas, essentially.
Yeah, definitely. But still, but like for the price though, I don't know. The price is pretty cheap. Maybe I'll just send you one.
Send me a link.
Maybe I'll just I'll play Super Rich Steve and I'll just mail you one.
Super Rich Steve never mailed me anything.
No, but he could. That's the thing. He could.
Oh, okay.
I'm just gonna say I could, and then I don't do it. That's the Super Rich Steve move. Like, he just walks in, I could buy that. Just doesn't buy it. Not gonna, but I could. I had a boss like that. He was very wealthy. And then he would, like, go into places, he's like, I could buy anything in here. But I'm not gonna. I'm like, okay. Like, cool.
Good for you, man.
Me too. I just won't pay my mortgage. Like, that's fine. Fun.
So something that I wanted to point out, and we'll throw it up here at the kind of the top-ish of the show in the what's new, you know, arena that we are currently in. Local hobby builder guy here that I know, Justin Jones. I posted a picture on the Flippin' Flippers Instagram. I don't know if you saw that. I posted it in my personal also, but he builds guitars. He fretted a neck for me. And he is selling one of his builds with the entirety of the price going to like a charity that he has chosen to help with relief for COVID-19 stuff. And his stuff is really cool. Him and his buddy Dan, they do some of the wackiest builds and like completely challenge your brain when it comes to what you think a guitar should look like or be. The one he's got for sale is a little more traditional than his normal like breaking boundaries, but still they do some really fun stuff.
But that
anybody's
one's
looking for a way to help.
Yeah, definitely.
What?
But also like that one too, like that one I wasn't super for. I mean, I knew about him because I think you'd mentioned him before, but like then like going through and looking at his stuff, this one is like the first one, right? That's like the first like official model or whatever.
Right, yeah, because he's never really pushed it as like something that he wanted like as a business or for selling. Because he's made some cool guitars that I would, you know, put some money on.
Yeah.
But he's never really acted like he was interested in selling anything until now.
Yeah.
So he thought, you know, this is a good way to get it going.
For sure. But that one looks like, I mean, it looks polished. It looks like a polished vintage style guitar that somebody just like hot rodded to. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It looks like what we would do, like, to a guitar, but then, like, ours just don't play well. You know what I mean? Like,
if we had actual, like,
right, if we had any sort of skill and we're like, oh, we're going to put this in and do this and change this bridge and do this. And then, like, not only is it going to look cool, it'll actually play cool too. Instead of, like, me just sitting on a wall and going, you know what? I'm glad I finished this. It plays like a turd.
Yep.
So, but yeah, no, definitely yeah, you should check it out.
It sells it for charity.
Yeah, it is on our Instagram. I did see that. I think it's really, really cool. I mean, I think anything people can help out. There's a lot of people out of work, so I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to just get into a topic? Are you ready for this?
I don't know. You didn't ask me what was new, but I guess whatever. It's fine. It's fine.
You kind of talked about what was new.
It's fine.
Tell me something new.
Something new? I don't know. Oh, I'm trying. So I helped Wilhu purchase a guitar. I don't think it was a I'm not saying it was a bad move. I think if he sat on it a little bit longer, he would sell it. It's that Fender Contemporary series from like the
80s. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
It is really cool, except I hate the color of it. And because it's like that, it's that sunburnt orange, it's called, and it's like kind of pinkish. And it doesn't vibe with me. If it was the white one, I would have been like, I'll buy it from you. But I'm trying to whittle my way in to get the neck from him because it has a black headstock and it's all black. The whole neck is painted black. And
but it has that Floyd Rose neck,
yes,
though, doesn't it?
Well, yes, but I don't want the whole guitar. I just want the nut. Oh, it has the Floyd Rose nut. Yes, it does. I don't care about that. That's fine. I'll figure that out down the road. But then I'll do like a black body with maybe like one of those like Deco Boom like pick guards that's like it just has like the outline once around it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would look super slick. And I'm like, oh, now I'm jonesing for like a Strat, which I haven't done in a while. So I'm kind of like, we'll see. I'm trying to trade him stuff. We'll see what happens. And then the other thing is I pulled the trigger. I sold, this is a Will of Who episode. I did sell my Gibson that I really, really loved. And it was one of those things. I had it at a price that was too good to like not sell it. I had it up for $800 and people kept offering me $525, $550. And I was like, no, get out of here. And I had it at a price that I was like, okay, if it sold for that, I'm not going to cry. Cause it's like really good. It sold for $800. Somebody just straight up bought it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa. Okay. For a Les Paul like special. That was way overpriced. I thought for one that's like beat up, you know? And
yeah,
but I was really sad. And then I took that money and bought a Gibson Sonics, I bought 310, dude. I bought one for $310. I am pumped because they sell for about five or six. So
yeah, I know you sent me a link to one. And then when I went to look at the link, it said it had sold. So
yeah,
was that the one?
Was that on Facebook?
Yeah,
that's probably the one. He had it up for five. So the deal with it is, it has a Challenger neck on it, and the only reason you can tell the difference is one says Gibson and one says the Gibson Guitar Company, but they're both the bolt-on necks and they're both the same scale length. So I really don't care. But I basically talked him down from $500. I was like, listen, I was like, if this was like all like one piece, I would offer you $450 right now, but it's basically a parts guitar, and I'm like, it's just not worth it. And the guy was like, I'll ask the widow. And I was like, ooh. And he came back. He's like, she'll do $300. I was like, okay. He's like, but you have to pay the fee. So it was $10 in fees. So I was like, cool. Nah. So I'm a terrible person for not talking a widow down, but whatever.
Hey. You know, you got a deal. You got a deal, man.
But that guy, because the guy's helping like the lady sell like a bunch of guitars, they had a ton of stuff. So if you're looking for guitars at like pretty good deals, not like crazy deals, but good, like good deals, a good keep it price.
Yeah.
Like I'll send you the link because there was like a Del Rey on there that looks sick. There was a lot of stuff. An SG that was like reasonably priced. So I was like, ooh, but I'm super stoked. He shipped it today, so I'm excited to get it.
Yeah, I need to just not do that. Not buy any of those things. Don't send me the link.
I didn't send it to you.
Okay, good.
But, yeah, so topic. Do it. I don't care what's new with you. Just do the topic.
Yeah, no, I don't got anything new going on anyway. But I thought, I don't know if we've mentioned it before. It's just going to be like mentioning things and talking about stuff episode, apparently.
So this is different than any other episode we do?
I don't know. All this right. feels a little more disjointed, but that's okay. There is a, like, a parts builder type of guy. Like, he builds parts casters. Guy, girl, I don't actually know. It's a shop on Reverb called Electrovox Guitar.
Oh yeah, you said,
I know.
Yeah, you've sent me a couple times. Yeah, and then you sent me one today or yesterday. I think it was today. Oof, that was hot fire.
Yeah, this guy, this person. Sorry, I've been hanging out with you East Coasters too much. This guy over here.
These guys.
this particular individual does parts builds. And, you know, I thought that'd be cool to highlight something like that because these are really slick-looking parts builds. There's definitely a theme. It's usually an offset. The neck is always like a tinted burst type of finish on it. But then, I don't know. I find the builds inspiring and creative, and whether or not a parts build is worth what, you know, this person is asking for, I don't know. But I don't know. I just thought it was cool. It's inspiring stuff, and thought that we could chat about parts builds a little bit and some of the cool things we've seen because we're both working on some right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. If, like, let's talk about parts builds. There's definitely companies that have other companies make their necks for them. There's companies that have their bodies made in other places just to, like, save money, you know? And so I don't... Almost every guitar. I mean, every Fender guitar is technically a parts build. I mean, if you go to the Fender mod shop and you pick out a bunch of different parts and have them put it together, that's a parts build, whether if you want to say Fender did it or not, you know. Like Warmoth, I mean, I know one of my friends, he just like went on Warmoth, bought all the parts, had it shipped to his guitar tech. The guy put it together and then gave it to him. So like, that's still a guitar. It's a guitar, so whatever. But this guy has something different to them. To him when you're saying that, you know, like for instance, the one you sent me was a Jaguar Jazzmaster style guitar, but it has three single coils on a very like obscure looking pick guard, and then it has like a Tele like control plate like added on it, so it's very like vibey.
I think three or four knobs on it.
Yeah, three knobs and a switch. So yeah, because of the three pickups. So it's gotta be a control knob for each and then a selector switch. But yeah. And I mean, it's definitely that style of like, kind of like this, hey, you know, like kind of like, Fano or, you know, some of these other builders that are doing like styles, like a Les Paul or a Jazzmaster. And then they're like, kind of like mixing stuff together, you know, and, Novo is kind of one of those ones that's not doing, he has his own body style, but he's doing like almost like a drop in what like style guitar you like into that like mold, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, it's kind of like what's hot. And I'm like, if this thing plays good and sounds good, it's worth every penny. It's gorgeous looking.
Yeah. And he's always doing like crazy color scheme.
Yeah. This
like,
is
everything is very stylized.
Very stylized. And this is a, it's a, translucent purple, so you can see like the wood grain through, but it's still like a kind of like a sparkly purple over it. It's really cool. It's a cool guitar. It's $850, which I don't know, that's cheaper than a Fender. Like if that was an American Fender, which this says custom American, so who knows like what he's using for parts, but my guess is he's using like all parts or like, you know, Mighty Might or something like that, you know.
I searched his name on Reverb and looked at sold listings.
And people were like, straight trash. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, and like some of his build photos, I saw WD on one of the necks.
Oh, okay.
So, with WD Music, so
yeah.
Right, they're a manufacturer.
They're manufacturer parts,
stuff,
yeah.
So yeah, he's using parts.
Yeah, I mean, he says right on this one, he has, it says three Kent Armstrong single coil pickups. It says it like, it kind of just says a lot of the information in there anyways. I don't know. Yeah. Let's see. And pickups, blah, 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 blah. He's using he's using a Fender Mustang bridge. He says that. He's using, Let's see what else he says. Now, he doesn't say anything else about style. He just says mahogany body, you know, but like, also, a Fender floating bridge as well, or Fender floating tremolo as well. So he's saying like, what is there? So in my mind, as long as he's saying what's there, who really cares, you know? And yeah. And it doesn't look like he's buying like a bunch of stuff from like Guitar Fetish and then relicking it and selling it on eBay like I would, but which I've done. Oh, the good old days. But he's got some cool straight stuff, man. Scandalous. He's got a Tele semi hollow with like a very unique like kind of like Tele Deluxe like pick guard, you know, and it looks like he's like cutting his own pick guards. He's got to be because they're so unique.
But oh yeah, they're definitely like one of a kind type of pick guards. And the material of that pick guard on the purple one is just
killer. Yeah, what was it? He called it something. I don't remember what he called it. I looked it up and then now I forgot. But
every time he posts a new
one, it's Black Abalone. Okay. Yeah, that's why it looks good, man. I would get one of those pick guards in a second on anything.
Anything.
Kevin, I need a pick guard this week. Get to it. This guy has a real style. He has like he has a Telecaster that's a double bound. I would say light purple, like maybe like it's hard to tell in the pictures, but you know, a flipping flippers purple. And then it's got, it looks like P90s in it. And then, you know, rosewood neck with like no logo on it, but it's all black appointments. It looks super slick. He only has $450 on it. So like, dude, that's cheap. Like that's cheaper than any MIM you're going to get. And I'm sure it plays better. So it's not like this guy has like 13 of these guitars up. He's got like six guitars up right now. So he's probably doing like,
I'm looking at his shop right now. He's got one, just that purple.
No, dude, I'm in it right now. You're wrong. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guitars.
Electrovox Guitar Lab.
Maybe not.
Out of Virginia Beach.
Yeah, no, right? No, maybe not. Maybe I got on his page somehow. Maybe these are suggested. I don't know.
Yeah,
that was a different person. Never mind. Don't buy that. That's garbage. That dude is selling tons of those. They're crap. I went to that thing and then somehow I must have clicked on something when we were talking and it was like the suggested similar or something. I thought it was his shop.
Oh, yeah. You're looking at the similar listing.
Yeah. But I somehow clicked on it to be like a main page. Mm-hmm. And so then it was like, oh, my bad. this came up because I looked at this today and I thought this was awesome. It is, it's called a Swadirt and it's basically, they took like a HM2 clone and then they, put it in with four knobs. They took out the four knobs and just put them all at max and then just put it in a box with a button, which I was like, that's amazing.
Nice.
Cause that's the only way people run that pedal. So it literally, they just maxed it out and then just left it. And I think that's freaking fantastic.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I was like, that's really, really, really cool.
Hey, you want to do that pedal thing?
Yeah, whatever.
Alright.
Is it my turn? Grab your glass, raise it up, and loudly sing. Oh, it's that pedal thing. Paul and Co. Prop, another one. Yeah, so We got a bunch of stuff in from El Diablo Amps, and there is the one I wanted, and I'm glad you sent it, because you kind of just, like, you got the box, because you set up this deal, and I was kind of just like, oh, I hope I get stuff, and, I mean, I got to play with all of them, but this is the one I wanted to review, because we're both just, like, super nuts about fuzz. So from Small Sound, Big Sound, it's the Buzz with 3 Z's. That's like in Airheads. She's like, I'm Susie with 2 Z's. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. If you haven't, watch it.
It's been a long time.
I just watched it the other day because I couldn't sleep. And I was like, I guess I'll watch Airheads. Anyways.
The Lone Rangers?
Lone Rangers? You can't pluralize the Lone Ranger. Such a good band name. I would name my band the Lone Rangers. So anyways, this pedal, it is a lot to take in from a little box. So it's basically it's four knobs, and then it has a bunch of switches. And for a hot minute, I got like option paralysis, but not in like a bad way. It's just like, it's like everywhere I tweaked it or turned it, I just liked it, you know, even though it was doing something like totally different. So basically it is based on the Super Fuzz circuit, and it is like a hot rodded super, like from one spectrum to the other. You can get like this tight fuzzy sound, or you can get this like Velcro-y, like gripping like sound. But it has that harmonic to it the whole time. It has like that harmonic, like Super Fuzz kind of sound. So you have that tone the entire time, kind of like whatever you're doing, but then you get all these like weird clipping and gain options. And, you know, there's also like a, there's also like another foot switch in it, which is, what do they call it? It's like the, I forgot what they call it. Let me look here. I'm dumb.
Oscillate?
No, it's like a boost. It's like a boost in it.
Feedback? Oh, boost.
Yeah, and so you can like switch them. That's why I couldn't remember. So the switch, literally, this is crazy. So the switch, you can switch what the switch does, and then you can also switch what it does when you switch the switch. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. I know that doesn't make any sense. So there's like, on the right-hand side, there's like, it says EQ, scoop, or flat. And if you click that, it turns that to AB. Or if you do the other one, it's the octave to AB. So basically you can mess with like the way it like controls that one extra switch. It's wild, dude. It is.
So do you think that we got it in over our heads a little
on this with, one?
Some of these pedal choices.
I, you know what? Yes and no. Like, here's the thing is like,
okay,
you know, we do like the poor man's version, you know, like we don't like, I feel like you and I are very, I don't want to say good, but very, like, okay at like explaining what it is, taking it out of the box and just playing with it. This one got me, but the thing is like taking it out of the box, I still like 100% was like, okay, I'm on board. It wasn't one of these pedals. Yeah. There's some pedals that we've played in the past. Like a good example, the Rainbow Machine, you take that out of the box and I turn all the knobs all over the place and I have no idea what I've done. And I think I messed it up. This is not this. This right. is, okay, there's clipping options, there's gain, there's your gain knob, you have a volume knob, a treble. So like it's simple to use, but then like there's these switches on the side that like change this thing into a monster. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you are on a fuzz journey and you want something cool that you haven't really like seen, cuz this is, I've seen it in Instagram, I've never played it. I've never touched it anywhere. And to like play with this, I was like, oh dang, this is freaking cool. It's $200. You're getting a ton of pedal for $200. So it's something nice to check out there. There's a cool demo. I can't remember who does the demo. I think it's on their page though. But mm-hmm. they talk to like one of the guys from Small Sound, Big Sound, and he like explains it, and the guy's like ripping it on bass, and just like everything sounds so good. So
I didn't try it on bass while I had it here. Dang it.
I played it on bass, but on low because I don't have a bass amp. So I just kind of like shoved it through like, you know, like my Sovtek at like low volume so I wouldn't like blow it out, just to like see like what it sounded. It's cool. It's very cool. But yeah, he kind of goes through and explains everything on a smarter level than we can grasp. But like even the guy like who is demoing it, like when he's like touching the buttons for him, he's like, oh, whoa. You know, you keep saying whoa, because like every time he does it, it almost makes it like a different pedal, but it has like a different tone, or the same tone, you know, it has that same like super fuzz tone, but it's like almost like a different pedal. And it does, it goes from like this Velcro-y, like harsh. There's like one setting that he does that is just like, oh my gosh, like this would just rip on like an album. You know what I mean? It's just like this like chuggy noise. But then like all of a sudden it gets like, you know, like more, not big muffy, that's not the right term, but just like tighter like that, you know?
Yeah.
So
woolly.
Yeah, like woolly, but like, yeah, you know, like you think of like a Velcro-y, like ripping, you know, like fuzz, and then you think of like the Big Muff and it's more of a distortion. And Big Muff has like that, especially like the black one or like the newer ones, they have that more like tighter, like distortion sound. And this can kind of get like all over the place, and it's really cool. So if you want something that has a lot of variety, check it out. It is something for sure. Yeah. So it's funny, cause he like describes it. He said, He said, I felt the need to make a mess of this circuit. which, okay, if that's in the description, I think I did okay.
Yeah, and I think you did all
right. Yeah. No, it's cool, though. It is really, really cool. You can even get, like, some overdrivey tones out of it, which was like, whoa, okay. You know, and then you're just clicking buttons and switches, and you're like, oh, we're in a whole different world now.
I like it.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to get that one out to you soon, so I didn't spend a whole lot of time with it. That, you know, I kind of split them up when I shipped them out.
Yeah, because we're trying to take turns here, but, you know, we're also not good at things, so it's fine. But
yeah,
I really do think like that there are some pedals out there that are, you know, $200 or, you know, somewhere in that range, and you're like, this is almost way too much bang for its buck, you know. And this kind of falls in that category. You know, some pedals are like, okay, I get it in this setting, and it just, this is killer. This is where I like it. And then that's it. It's just a one trick pony, and you're paying $200. This is a whole lot of stuff, you know? And, the cool thing is that, you know, you can go like with the octave, you can go up or down, obviously, with the frequency. So you can get like this, like really crazy sub frequencies, and then you can get these like, it's cool. It's really cool. I highly recommend this pedal for sure. I think I may have a conversation with people at El Diablo. Shh, don't tell the wife. That's our motto. That's our new guitar. That's our new slogan. The Flippin' Flippers, don't tell the wife. Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I had this topic idea that I thought would be fun last week, but we, you know, we ran short on time, so I thought we'd just roll it in right here this week. We got a little bit of time. We can kind of talk about this, work through it, and the idea is gear prejudices. So I don't think we've talked about this before, but I know definitely for me, and let me know if you share this experience. There was, when I first started playing, there was things that I thought were dumb or I didn't like. And then after a few years, like, that changed into, there was these other things that I thought were dumb and I didn't like. And an example is Sunburst guitars. I used to be just 100% no way, Sunburst, ugly.
Yeah, that's a dad guitar. Never gonna own one.
Yeah. and then over time, though, that changed. And now, like, I can kind of see the beauty in some Sunbursts. And I don't know. That's just, like, my example. What do you think? What you got?
Well, I think when you said this to me, there was one that popped out right away, and it was EHX. Electro-Harmonix pedals, like, in, I'd say, the mid-2000s to, like, the late 2000s. Well, not late 2000s, because that's in the future, but the 2000, late 2000, you know, like early 2010s, they were pumping out like tons of these like drives. Like, so like back in the day, it's like, oh, I want that Big Muff. Oh, I got to have that, you know, the Holy Grail. Oh man, I really like that. What was the Cathedral? You know, there was all these ones that were like super, super cool. And I thought they were really pushing like the envelope of like what pedals were, and like, you know, but the cost was still like pretty reasonable for most of them. And then all of a sudden they started putting out these like $60 drive boxes. And that was probably like maybe like five years ago or something, where it was like, what was it? The river, the Dirty River, there was all these like, Green River. Is that what it was? The East River, and then the Satisfaction Fuzz. And then like all these like pedals they were putting out.
The log.
I mean, they had tons of them that came out, like, it was like every week they were pumping out a pedal. And that, I'm not saying they were bad, because they brought out that Klon one, and that was okay, but the foot switch was terrible. What was that called? Soul Food. I was going to think of Soul Reaver, the game for PS1. Anyways, and I had that on my board for a long time. When that came out, I was like, oh, that's cool, a cheap Klon that sounds cool, you know. And then later on, I kind of got like, now like I have this like kind of gross taste in my mouth about EHX, even though they still put out good product. Like everybody, like I think almost everybody agrees that the Ocean's 11 is like killer, but I'm still like, eh. You know what I mean? Even for the price,
this is a gear prejudice that you still have.
This is one that grew.
Oh, okay. Well,
because I used to think
you took this topic the opposite.
Yeah, because you never really like grew you really out of. Yeah, you really. I don't know if you said grew out of or I just didn't read it, but that was like the first thing that like went through my head was like, oh yeah, I used to really, really like that stuff. And I'm like, ugh. And it's not like it's bad. Like their product's great and their price point is great, but I'm still like, eh. And I don't know if I just got snobby because like a lot of like a boutique stuff or yeah. if I'm like, just like, I don't know. I just want to try other stuff besides EHX. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I do know that like at the right price, I don't really care what it is.
Right.
But, and then I think like, offsets and tellies. I was talking about this the other day with Sean Arbo from Gun Street, that like now he's like into tellies, and I was like, yeah man, I was like, he's like, this is my fourth telly, and he's like, I always hated tellies. I'm like, yeah, I turned 30 and all of a sudden I was like, man, I want a telly, and I hated them. I thought they were so really? stupid. Yeah, I thought they were dumb country guitars. And I even knew like Chris Rowe from the Ataris plays one. Who else is like the first like big Under Oath album was all recorded on Telecasters. Like
Marty Stewart plays a Telecaster.
Yeah, no, totally. Tons of people played Telecasters, but I just thought it was stupid. You know, I just thought it was a stupid looking guitar. And then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, I really want one. You know, and then I'm like, you know, and then I got one and I really liked it. And then I was like, now I'm gonna get a good one. And I got that. Now I own like a vintage one. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know why I hated it, but I did. And I think that was like, yeah, even like the thing is too, like, did you say, what is it? Derek, what's his name from Blink? Or not? Yeah.
From
Sum 41. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had like his own signature series. And I never thought that guitar was cool. Like
I always thought that.
I mean, I never did. And then like, even when he had like his own one, just like that he played on stage, I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not into that. I just didn't get it. But now I'm like, I have like four Telecasters now and I'm working on another one. You know what I mean? So it is kind of like, oh, I guess I really like Telecasters now, you know? So I guess that would be a prejudice that like I've grown out of for sure. Okay. And then offsets, I was never like, I always associated offsets with like Nirvana and, what's the other one? Sonic Youth and, Dinosaur Jr. And I like Dinosaur Jr. I was never really into Sonic Youth, even though I've seen them live. And then, Nirvana was like not a little bit before my time, but I was like, I think I was a freshman when he died. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like,
okay.
I wasn't like, oh my gosh, it broke my heart. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't really care that much about his music. I liked the albums, but I wasn't like upset about it, you know? But I always associated those guitars with like that, those grungy bands. And so like, and I didn't really play grunge, you know, I played like punk rock stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, and I played that in blues, which is crazy. Blues and surf, because that's what, that's what I was like taught, you know? But you know, like I wanted like punk rock. I wanted punk rock sounds, you know, I wanted that Blink-182 sound, you know? And so that's what sculpted my young, like adult life, you know? And so I thought, you know, offsets were dumb, you know, and the ones I played at the time, they weren't great. You know, they probably weren't set up well, and they probably were like the, you know, they're probably like the 70s or 80s ones that nobody wanted, you know, and they, mm-hmm. they didn't play well. And so having a guitar that played, I mean, my main guitar at that time was, I had a Korean Squire Strat, which played awesome. I think it's played almost as good as any Strat I've ever played. It was set up well and it played well. And so, you know, I don't know. I'd pick up that and go, this is a turd. And I'd move on, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have one that might come as a surprise. I used to be anti-pedal.
No, I could see that. Because yeah, you're see that? Well, you were like a bass guy.
Yeah.
So besides like a drive, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, even on bass, I mean, I always wanted the Sans amp. You know, I still haven't bought a Sans amp.
That's crazy. You talked about that, I think, on our first episode we did together. I think you talked about flipping something to get a Sans Amp.
Next time I have a little bit extra cash, I just need to buy one.
Yeah, just get a used one somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, just search the Craigslist or whatever.
Gosh, I'm such a dummy.
Yeah. They sound great, too. Yeah,
I used to make fun of people for having pedals. You know, that classic zinger, calling them a tap dancer, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're killing it.
Yeah. I would say that I've changed my tone on that one a little bit.
Is that because of the pedals or? So,
another one for me is pointy guitars.
Still not into them. Sorry.
As of right now, I don't really own a pointy guitar, except for maybe you could say that SG
that doesn't count.
Copy I have.
That's a classic look. I don't think that counts. That's not like in the, you're talking more like the Shredder, like pointy.
I am talking a little more like
the metal guys.
Squire and Fender katanas.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm digging those right now. Like all the stuff that I don't know why. Like I know it's a bad idea because if somebody sees you with one of those guitars, there's a certain expectation that I am not going to meet that expectation.
Right.
That I cannot play one of those guitars the way they're supposed to be played.
Right.
And I'm also not really great at taking care of my own instruments. So I know that I would chip a corner off or something.
Oh, okay.
One of those points would become just a blunt edge.
You just got to like put like a duct tape, like a fork to it, you know, so it's just like more metal looking, you know, like I could kill myself now.
See that? Yeah. I didn't want to break it. And now I can eat macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
With it.
Yep. I'm a tough guy. I think I'm still out on pointy guitars. I just can't get behind them. I don't know. It's just not my aesthetic. I don't know. I like a lot of bands that play pointy guitars. It's just not me, you know? I don't know. I like classic looking guitars for some reason. But I have my modern guitars I like, but I don't know. It's not my style for whatever reason. But the pedal thing, dude, I'm on board. I was like, I'll have a tuner and a drive and I'm just going to push my amp. That was it. That was my sound, you know? And I'd have like the channel switch, you know, for my Marshall. So, but that was it. Like I would go and play a show and like, it was still early for guys to have like big pedal boards, but you'd see the guy bring out like the briefcase and then like take the top off of it. And he'd have like five. And he was like, whatever, whatever guy,
whatever nerd.
Yeah. And you know, and the thing is too, I had like bad experiences with like those multi effects pedals, like
everybody has bad experiences with those.
Yeah, like the Digitech or DOD like 4X or whatever it was called. Like I had one of those and like everything sounded like garbage except for chorus, you know? And it was like, those are gross. I just want to run the amp, you know. And you know, like you said, the style of music that we played, you know, is like you just want to turn the amp up to like 11 and that's it. You know, it's not, there's not like a whole lot. So I don't know. But then I got
look
into
at us now.
Yeah. Look at us now. Just dude, I remember when I played at church, like, I had left the worship team for a long time. And then, when I came back, there was like a new worship leader. And then like, somehow somebody said, oh, why aren't you playing on the worship team, blah blah blah. And then, you know, I didn't weasel my way in. I just said, oh, I'll show up. And my buddy Alan was like, hey, yeah, why don't you come this weekend to practice and play. And then I came and I had like, at the time I had like the PT Pro and I think I had like 19 pedals on it.
Oh my goodness.
And it was like, well, this is kind of just what I have, so like I just brought it, you know.
Yeah.
No need for that. But it was also cool because I had like a pog and I had like a wah in there. Like I could do whatever noise I wanted, but it also was too much.
Yep.
So now I'm down to 14 on a small pedal board, which is crazy.
Jeez, that's still too much, man.
I know. Actually, I don't even know if it's 14. It might be 12, but yeah, I know. I'm gross.
Right now, my like the biggest rig I usually build is like 8.
That's tiny. I could do that, but that's tiny. So
and that's including an Octastep because that's usually on there.
The problem is I have like there's 3 always ons for me, so those have to be there and on all the time. And then from there I construct my board, you know. And it's like okay, you know, if I don't have those three, it's like, what am I doing? I need, you know, I need to rethink my life, I guess. I need one pedal that does those three things.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Actually, I think I own that pedal. It was the HX Stomp, I'm pretty sure.
Could have done all of it for you.
Yeah, I don't know. One of them's compressor. I really like the compressor I have. I don't know. I can't see myself without it.
Yeah, you are particular about that.
Well, I've gone down that road, and there's one other one I really like, which is like the Keeley one, but I really like that Frantone. It just sounds, it's like one of the few like compressors that I think I can hear the sound difference. You know what I mean? Like I think yeah. I can feel it change my tone, you know? And so I get it, but yeah. I don't know if that answers your question.
Absolutely, it does.
Yep.
I mean, works for me, man. That was it. That was the idea. I mean, the only other one I had written down was that I used to be very prejudiced about popular things. So if other people liked it, I was out.
And for the record, you usually listen to what in the car?
Like that.
No, that's not true. What do you listen to in the car?
Right now?
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of Last Podcast on the Left.
No, well, I meant music-wise.
Oh, music-wise? You know, Brand New, Dwight Yoakam.
Just be honest. It's Kesha and Britney Spears, and you know it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So
yeah.
So I'm just saying. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying. So
I haven't felt angsty enough for them.
Which is crazy because I've been like having the kids like home 24/7. Like I love my kids so much. They're the freaking best. They're hilarious. They're funny. They're fantastic. They are relatively good listeners. They are loud, you know, mm-hmm. They're very loud, but they're great and I love them, but having them home 24/7 like makes my anxiety go like bananas. So it is literally anytime I get in the car, it's literally just been like Converge or like something like super like pretty heavy, you know what I mean? And it's like I just need to get that out, you know. And I'm like,
well, I mean, maybe I'm doing that same thing, except I've just been listening to the Last Podcast and listening to them talk about serial killers and energy vampires and
yeah,
JFK conspiracies and whatnot.
Yeah, did you listen to the H.H. Holmes one?
No,
you should start that one as soon as you're done with whatever you're on, because it is incredible. Like, not like the story's incredible, not just like their antics. Like their antics are perfect on it, but the story is insane. So the guy basically made a murder hotel in like,
you've told me about that in
modern society, you know, it's crazy. I didn't say anything else. Yeah. I'm just saying, go check it out. It's cool.
All right, we'll do. So, well, let's wrap this show up.
But I miss you.
Well, talk to me during the week sometime.
I try. I feel bad calling, but I should. I do text you more. But it has been rough. It has been hard with the kids because it's like I'm always doing something. There's never like, okay, I'll sweep this up and then I'll sit for 20 minutes. I don't get that. It's like it's constantly busy with the kids. So thank God for my wife. She is a trooper, let me tell you. So
good.
I want to thank our patronizers. You guys are literally the best. You keep this show running and you keep us looking at Guitar Next for cheap prices so we can make projects.
Gosh, the stupid projects we come
I know. But you know what though, our projects
I've got that nice walnut Telecaster body, and I'm going to put SG bevels on it.
I think that's going to be rad, though. And you already kind of like...
jigsaw and an orbital sand.
Dude, you did it, though. It looked good on that SL. Like, that looks good. So I'm like, oh, I think you can do it. I'm impressed.
We'll see. We'll find out.
Whatever. It's just wood. Just sand it.
Stay tuned.
It's just wood. Whatever. But I think, too, like, our projects, though, have, like, grown. Because our projects are now, like... oh, I just picked up like a pile of wood. I'm going to try to build something out of it. Now it's like, hey, I got these bodies from a friend, or I got, you know, like we did the Sean Arbo builds, you know, for like a year basically. And, you know, so that was kind of fun. And like, I built last year a Telecaster from all like, everything was from parts from friends, which is pretty mm-hmm. cool, you know, whether if I bought them or, you know, they just said you can have it or whatever. But, you know, I made like a murder guitar out of like parts from friends, you know, and it's like, that's fun, you know? So I think our projects have gotten more refined, whether if they're good or not. No, I don't know. I can't answer that, but they have gotten like more meaning to them.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, see you later. Oh, wait. And thanks for Diablo Amps for sending us stuff. Go check them out. It's DiabloAmps.com, right?
El Diablo.
Oh, why did I say Diablo? El Diablo. I suck. Yeah, go check it out.
If you missed the code word to get some sort of discount on it, on the two pedals, the HP2 and the Fairfield Circuitry Shallow Water, go listen to last week's episode, because it's not that hard of a code word to figure out. So
yeah, I
should have remembered it.
Well, you want to know what I think after that and after what I said and that pedal thing? He's probably going to go, we'll talk about it for next month. But seriously, go check out his site. It's really, really cool. Eldiabloamps.com. It's very, very cool stuff. It's kind of like all the stuff I want in one spot, yeah. You know, it's like the reverb for like not used stuff, you know, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. So go check it out. He's a cool guy. I do think in this time we need to support our friends and so go on there. Check out some of the stuff we talked about. Check out some other stuff he's got on there.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, patronizers.
All right, bye.
Catch you on flip side.